This week, August 25th, 2015, on The Digital Story, the inside scoop on the Olympus OMD EM10 Mark II. Hi-fi for Wi-Fi cameras? You bet. And the latest Apple RAW updates. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I'm thrilled to be here with you. And I hope most of you are here with me. And I say that because... So I had this kind of this odd thing happen with last week's show. So it was about the 10 posing tips and a good deal on a Panasonic camera, all that. I thought those were pretty good topics. And I was particularly excited about those posing tips. Well, for some reason, whether it was the timing or the topic or something that I just can't explain, that podcast was a dog with fleas. I tell you, the stats on it are literally about two-thirds of what we normally have for one of our shows. So this week, we're going to get into a new announcement, and we are going to... I guess, be meat and potatoes, back to basics, all that good stuff. And hopefully, if some of you were gone last week, you're back and you will download this show. And if you have some idea why last week's show was so doggone unpopular, drop me a line. Let me know. I want to know, because I'm baffled on these sort of things. And usually when I publish a show, I'm pretty excited. I feel like I've done some good work. So when it bombs, it'd be helpful if I had some idea why. Okay, so that is that little footnote. And by the way, you can always send me email, Derrick@thedigitalstory.com, D-E-R-R-I-C-K. Well, how about this week's show? Let's hope we do a little bit better here. So I have a new announcement. Wow. The OMD EM10 Mark II. We're going to spend some time with this brand new camera. I've already been briefed on it. I had time to get my notes together, and it was just announced, and I'm going to tell you the inside scoop on it on this show. I'm also going to talk a little bit about the iFi card, even if you have Wi-Fi in your camera. And we'll get a little bit about that, talk about Apple RAW updates, weekly updates, all sorts of good stuff. So let's get to work. The weekly update. Modulo camera promises unlimited dynamic range. And what they mean by that is that you won't be able to overexpose the shot. You may have seen some headlines on this story. The photography blog reports the new solution developed by MIT researchers gets around the limited well capacity of conventional sensors by resetting the sensor capacitors whenever the well gets full, and uses an inverse modulo algorithm to calculate how much light the reset sensors took in. This algorithm recovers a much larger dynamic range. For example, if a certain camera sensor can record 8 bits of information, then when those 8 bits are filled, the capacitor would be reset to zero. The number of resets is recovered by the algorithm, which then calculates the relative brightness of each area of the photo. Interested readers are encouraged to visit the project's website and to read the technical paper published by the researchers. So this is trippy. Basically, no matter how contrasty, how much light comes blasting through the lens of this camera, they will be able to record that information. And then what they do is they process it and render a nice looking photo. For us as photographers, I think the more interesting part is the extended dynamic range, because the assumption being that it's going to hold on to the shadow areas and the midtones, but yet not blow out the highlights. That gives us tremendous opportunity. Just think of a landscape where you expose for the foreground, and then you have this relatively bright sky, and it always blows out. So we have to figure, well, I better add a you know, graduated filter or a fix it in post, whatever, or do an HDR. According to this, that sky will not be overexposed. That's very interesting stuff. I don't know if this will make it into regular commercial cameras or not, or if it'll be more like, you know, some of the other technology breakthroughs we've seen that are in limited models. But I think it's interesting, and it would be cool to not have to worry about those blown out skies, especially when we're taking pictures. Who knows? We'll find out. In other news, the Photographer posts, reports of Sony's new APS-C E-mount camera boasts 4K 30 frames per second stills. The Sony A6000 is a great camera, but apparently there's something coming that won't succeed the camera, but instead live above it as the company's flagship APS-C E-mount camera. Besides mic input support, the camera is said to have 30 frames per second 4K photo mode, similar to what Panasonic offers with their latest cameras. Plus, even more video-centric features will be added, according to what the reports state. Okay, so Sony's added again, and it looks like they're going to come out with one that has an APS-C sensor, which is what they've typically been putting in these. I feel like they're going directly at Panasonic. I feel like they're going directly at Canon and Nikon with their full-frame cameras. These guys are serious. I mean, they're getting to it, and they're going after it. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see if indeed this new camera has these alleged specifications. If so, looks like it's going to be another serious contender from the folks at Sony. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Story number one, the inside scoop on the Olympus OMD EM10 Mark II. I'll read you a little bit of text here, and then we'll, boy, this is a cool camera. Then we'll get into some of the nitty gritty here. Olympus has upgraded both the interior and the exterior of the very popular OMD EM10. The new model still retains the 16 megapixel 4/3 sensor in a very compact body. Beyond that, however, the dials and body have been upgraded with premium components. And under the hood, we see better image stabilization and more versatile movie options. And indeed we do. So let's talk about the exterior first. So they still kept the very compact size. So this is going to be the smallest OMD, this new version of the OMD EM10. Very compact. And the last camera, the original OMD, I have to tell you, is one of my favorite cameras right now. And they didn't mess it up. They didn't. In fact, they made it better. As I'm looking at the camera right now, first of all, the leather grip and so forth, they've upgraded that. So it's more like what we got with the premium edition of the earlier model. And then they've taken the dials that are on the top there, and they've added different textures to the dials. And the dials have these really nice, you know, knurled look, but they have different patterns so that while you have your eye up to the camera taking pictures, then you can feel the correct knob because they all feel differently. And this is one of the things that when we talked to Olympus that they wanted to do, they wanted to have this great shooting experience where you could control the camera without having to take it away from your eye. And I think they have succeeded in that. Now they've changed the top deck quite a bit. So now on the left side, as you're looking down on the camera and the lens is pointing out, on the left side, they have the power switch. So the power switch isn't on the back anymore, it's on top. And so there's an off-on lever, which is nice, but then they do this thing that I really like. So you move it up to turn it on. So you move it, you know, from one position to the other. And then if you move it just beyond the on position, it pops up the flash, all with the same lever. And I think that's really nice because I accidentally pop up the flash because of where the button is now on the current EM10, accidentally. And this will prevent that. Now, the fact that it has a pop-up flash in it is really terrific news because they've added 5-axis image stabilization and they've kept the flash. Before, we had three-axis image stabilization because they wanted to have the flash, and they couldn't figure out how to do both in the small area. Now they have both, and they still have small area. So this is really impressive. On the right side, you have the mode dial now that's closest to the pentaprism housing, which isn't really a pentaprism because it's a mirrorless camera. And then you have a control dial, and then you have the shutter button with another dial around it. You have a function button on the top deck, and then you have a function button right on where the thumb grip is also. So really, really cool layout here. Everything looks very stylish, has great design, and just looks top quality. The back of the camera has the flip up and down screen that we've seen on other Olympus models. It doesn't have the fully articulated LCD that we have on the EM5 Mark II. So it has more of the traditional up and down screen. And then on the right side, you have the menu button, the info button, the OK button, the four position jog dial, the trash button, and the play image button. So it's very clean. It looks very good. The outside is nice. They really did improve the ergonomics on this. Now, on the inside, they've done a lot of work too. And let's just get in. What I'll do is I'll give you a list here of the differences, the upgraded differences from this new Mark II to the previous model. So as I mentioned earlier, they upgraded image stabilization from 3-axis to 5-axis, and it has 4 EV stabilization, which is very good. It was compared to 3.5 on the earlier model. Now, it's still not quite as good as what's in the EM5 Mark II, which has 5 EV steps of stabilization, but 4 EV steps, very nice indeed, with the 5-axis, so with all the different angles too. They added an electronic shutter to complement the mechanical shutter, and this means, yes, we get silent shooting with this camera. They upped the sequential shooting rate from 8 frames per second to 8.5 frames per second. They upgraded the electronic viewfinder to over 2 million dots with OLED compared to 1.4 million dots in the previous model. They did a full HD movie upgrade, so now they have 60, 50, 30, 25, and 24 FPS compared to the straight 30 frames per second in the previous model. Two new art filters bringing the total up to 14. They created this new AF targeting pad, which allows you to use the touchscreen LCD on the back of the camera to control the autofocus. Now, this is something that you're going to have to see a demo of. It's kind of hard to describe, but basically, it's like a trackpad. You have like a trackpad on the back of the camera to control the autofocus. It's pretty neat when you see it in action. They improved the time-lapse movie mode to output the 4K. So when you shoot time-lapse with this camera, which it does very well, that output can be 4K video. However, the standard video, when you're in video mode, it's still HD. And they added keystone compensation like they have on the EM1 and the EM5 Mark II. I was surprised by that one. I didn't think that they were going to fit that in this new model, but they did. Now, what don't you get? Well, you still don't get weather sealing. You don't get the 40 megapixel high res shot. As I mentioned earlier, movie recording is staying at HD, not 4K video. So there are still a few trade-offs, but I'll tell you, not very many. I mean, you know, the older brothers, both are over 1,000. And yes, with the EM5 Mark II, you do get the high resolution shot mode. You do get the weather sealing. You do get a little better image stabilization by one f-stop. And you get some other goodies, more function buttons and things like that. But I tell you, this camera for really more than $300 savings has a ton of features, and it just looks absolutely beautiful. It's going to be available in both black and silver. They have black and silver models with this camera. And the release date, I believe, let me check on this real quick here. it's going to be available in early September, so that's nice. And they lowered the price just from the last time I talked to them to now. With the official release, it's going to be $649 without the lens, and $799 with the easy lens. So $799 with the easy lens, that's, like I said, normally basically a $300 lens. So, wow, they are really giving you a deal. You basically will get the easy lens for $150 if you buy it. With the camera, this is a good deal. This is a very, very good deal. I'm really excited about this camera. I hope to get my hands on it before too long to do some extended shooting. Right now, they don't have any for us to run away with. They only have things that you can look at. But, you know, being that the original OMD EM10 was one of my favorite cameras already, and then looking at what they've done with this camera, this is very tempting. And the fact that you can get into this system with that really cool easy power zoom and this body for $799, I think they're being very, very competitive. More to report on this camera, but right now, you have the inside scoop. Story number two. Even if you have Wi-Fi, iFi can be useful. Here's the deal. All my cameras now, except for the original OMD EM5, which I still have one at the studio here that I love and will always hang on to probably, have Wi-Fi built into them. Oh, the other one that doesn't is my Fujifilm X20, which I also love and will probably never part with. But everything else has Wi-Fi built in, and I love the Olympus implementation of Wi-Fi. I think they do a great job with it, as does my Samsung camera, as does the latest Canon cameras. They're all terrific. But the one thing about the Olympus cameras, the way that it works when you want to transfer images from the camera to your mobile device, normally for me, my iPad, is that you enable Wi-Fi on the camera, and then you log into the camera. The camera becomes an access point. You log into the camera on the iPad, and then you open up, essentially, you open up the memory card, you see all the thumbnails, and you pick the shots that you want. So that's great under most circumstances, but there are times, and I'm running into these times more and more, where I want clients to be able to see images on an iPad during the shoot itself. Now, I don't want them to see all the images. I just, when I feel like I nail it, then I want to send that image to the iPad and get their opinion to see what they think of it. And so what I really need to be able to do is control sending the image from the camera, not have to do it from the mobile device, because I'm busy shooting and I don't want to stop shooting to go over to the iPad, log in, do all that sort of stuff. And this is where the new iFi Mobi Pro really comes in handy, because what it allows me to do is that while I'm shooting, I can configure the card so that nothing goes over. You know, you make the connection between the card in the camera and the mobile device, in my case, the iPad. You make that connection, but then I'm shooting, and then when I feel like I have a shot that I want to share with the client or the mom or whomever, then all I have to do on the OMD is hit the top red button in playback mode, hit the top red button, which is the record button. That becomes the protect button. And then I have to confirm it with the OK button. And then that image gets sent over to the iPad immediately. So then I can be shooting, working it more, and then I get another shot that I like. I can send that image over. And then mom or the client or whomever can be reviewing those images while I'm shooting, and they can go, hey, could you maybe back off a little bit? I want to see her shoes, maybe. You know, could you do a kind of a more of a long shot? Or can you change the angle so that, you know, the signage in the back is a little different? Or, you know, whatever you want. And they can do that in real time. Not only can they do that, if you're doing it during a portrait shoot, then they actually can start picking their favorites. You can mark you can tag images as favorites using the iFi Mobi app right there on the iPad. Now, I'm shooting RAW plus JPEG, so the JPEGs that I send over are going to the iPad, but there's still a whole memory card full of RAW files. So then I see which shots they want, and they're looking at them, and they can give me some instructions. I want the skin tones to be a little warmer. I want this to be a little darker, all that kind of stuff. And I have the actual file number, and I can just get to work on it. So instead of having to go to all the trouble to send them a gallery and wait for them to do the shots, and they got to wade through them, all that, they can just give me the images that they like right there. During the photo shoot, I have the file numbers, I have their instructions. I can just prepare the images for them that night, and then we're done, we're finished. And it is very handy to be able to do that. Now with my Samsung NX camera, I can send images, choose images from the camera to the mobile device. I can make those pics on the camera. So it varies from camera to camera on what you can do. If your camera is one of those that doesn't allow you to make the selections in camera to send to the mobile device, I think the iFi Mobi Pro is a good way to go. It's a 32 gigabyte card. It's plenty fast, and it's $79, and it comes with the free software. I think it's very easy to use. You can configure it the way that you want. And this shooting technique that I'm doing, for instance, I'm going to use it tomorrow, which will be your Tuesday, probably when you're listening to this, I'm going to use it for a commercial client. We are shooting portraits on location. They really want the sign behind the portrait just right. They want everything kind of a certain way. They've already designed the layout, the ads that these are going to show up in. And so I can literally have the iPad on a stand. I just put it on a stand and have the images flowing through, have the project leader right there reviewing them. We can make the adjustments on the spot. When I leave that shoot, I know that they're going to be happy with the photos because they've looked at them and they've already made their picks. So this is a fairly cool system. I'm going to be using it more and more, especially with commercial clients. I thought you would be interested in knowing another application for iFi cards, even if you have Wi-Fi in your camera. Story number 3. Apple adds support for 6 new cameras in its latest digital camera raw update. And this is via Imaging Resource, although this story was pretty much all over the web. Just in case you haven't heard, Apple is doing a good job of keeping up with their raw updates. And the latest cameras that are included in this update are the Canon PowerShot G3X, the Leica Q, and they always put Type 116. Like, is there a different Leica Q out there? I don't know. That always kind of annoys me a little bit. The Panasonic Lumix DMC GX8 is now supported. Sony Alpha A7 R2, Sony CyberShot RX10 2, and the Sony CyberShot RX100 Mark IV. So those new cameras are covered in the update. The way the update works, it applies to Aperture, iPhoto, Photos for OS X, and Preview. It's a system-wide update. It's waiting for you if you use a Mac, and if you use any of those photo apps, it's waiting for you in the updates section of the Mac App Store. Okay, let's take care of a little Virtual Camera Club news. I mentioned last week the review that Red River Paper has published on the Epson SureColor P800. Again, this is a printer that I have a fair amount of desire for. It's a 17-inch wide professional printer. They compare it to its predecessor, which is the Stylus Pro 3880. It's a terrific review. If you're thinking about, by the way, getting a new printer, I would look at both the P800 for the 17-inch and the P600 for 13-inch printing from Epson. I know two people that have purchased the P600, and they absolutely love it. They absolutely love it. And you can learn about both printers at the Red River site. They have reviews on both of them. Of course, Red River Paper, they're the ones that make this excellent inkjet printing paper in a variety of surfaces at wonderfully low prices. They make the paper and they sell the paper directly to you. They have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story, and they have a beautiful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. I want to mention the good folks over at SizzlePix, SizzlPix.com. And these are the folks that you go to if you really want the best in output. If you have that special image, that image that you're just so proud of, and you want to have it hanging up in your office, you want to have it hanging up at home, you want people to see what a good photographer you are, this process that SizzlePix does will pull every bit of quality out of your image. Yes, we talk a lot about the polished aluminum and the durability and the eco-friendly process that they use, and that is all, that's big stuff. That's big time stuff indeed. But the thing that you don't realize that you get with them is not just the final product and those high quality materials, it's the work that goes into making that final product. It's those guys that are reviewing your image and optimizing it for the SizzlePix process. That is really the secret sauce on what they're doing. You actually get a craftsman, someone who is an artist in his or her own right, working on your beautiful image, together producing something that is just absolutely jaw-dropping. If you haven't tried a SizzlePix, give it a go. Pick your favorite image, click on the tile on The Digital Stories on all the pages, or just go to SizzlePix.com, SizzlPix.com, and order one for yourself. I believe if you put TDS or The Digital Story in the comments field, they will still give you the old price, even though they've upgraded to the new ultra high definition 5K process. Still get it at the old price. Give it a whirl. Treat yourself to having a piece of art that you can be proud of in your office, in your home, SizzlPix.com. Oh, the Safari West workshop right around the corner, October 23rd through the 25th. If you want to come to this, and if you've procrastinated, it's still not too late. Just go to the workshops page at The Digital Story. Use the send me info form. Three fields will take you a second. I'll get you the registration for me. Come out here, join us in the fall, and have a blast. And finally, thanks to everyone who has reviewed the TDS podcast in iTunes. I love those reviews. I love it when new people come over and they see that we have current information on the podcast there. Well, that's going to do it for me today. I hope you enjoyed the show. And I hope the normal people that normally download this show download it this week too, so we can get back on track. If I have another bow wow this week, then I'm going to have to start looking and seeing what's going on, if I've made a technical mistake somewhere. And if you have any feedback for me on last week's show on posing tips, or if you didn't download it and there was a reason why, please send me an email and let me know. Until then, I plan on seeing you next week. Be here. I've got more great stories. Bye-bye now.